Well done. Thank you very much, Capacity Crowd. Fantastic. Amazing. Hello, I'm Mark Murphy. Welcome along to the latest episode of Life's a Pitch TV. Wherever you are listening or watching, you're most welcome. Brought to you in association with DPS Tech. And a massive thank you to our other sponsors as well. That's All About Hearing, marketing company Ginger Pickle, Forward Floors, Come Hither Design, The Hudson Group, Sound 4 Pro Audio, Venue 16, and Fred Olsen Logistics. Thank you very much for your continued support. Let me introduce you to the team. Former Ipswich and England skipper Terry Butcher's here. Alongside him, his defensive partner, former Ipswich and England star Russell Osman's here. And propping up Beattie's bar, as always, is Phil Ham from twtd.co.uk. Yay! Who's also got Ed Sheeran popping in tonight, you know, just like being back in the dressing room the other evening and pulling the pints. What do you think, Ed? Excellent. Fantastic. Brilliant. We've got Richard over there. We've got Mark on technicals. We've got John on technicals. Leslie's our floor manager. And hello once more, Capacity Crowd. You are brilliant. Aren't they amazing, Butch?
Best crowd we've ever had.
I think so.
Yeah. They're the best crowd since the last one.
Now, we were due to have Carlos Edwards as our special guest tonight. Unfortunately, he can't make it at the moment. He may burst in during filming, in which case we'll make him most welcome and he can sit next to me on the sofa here, because I'm feeling a bit like Billy No Mates at the moment. I have had a shower this afternoon, but, you know, so thanks over there. So Carlos may or may not be able to make it. He's had a bit of an incident with a vehicle, but he's okay. So we'll carry on regardless.
He didn't crash his Rolls Royce like Marcus Rashford did he?
No, I don't think so, no. No.
I saw that. No, yeah. He had to bring the spare one out, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
He does collect them, doesn't he, I think, Rolls? Marcus?
It probably would, as
all, they all, do, don't
all,
they now?
All footballers yes. do. And yeah. we collected scooters, I think. That was about yeah. it.
Ford Cortinas in
Cortinas.
Your day, was it?
Yeah. Cortinas. What did you... You had a Capri?
I had a Cortina to start with. I had a nice brown coloured Mark III Cortina.
Brown Cortina.
And you had an Opel Berlinetti.
An Opel Manta Berlinetti. Yeah.
Was there a bit of kind of rivalry about who had the best cars? Because they were sponsored, a lot of them, weren't they?
I think I got the best sponsored deal there. Yeah, I was very fortunate. Lancaster Garages.
Yeah, you had a nice red G-Wagon, didn't you?
I had a G-Wagon.
I remember it very well because I used to service it in my previous career.
Thank you, Mark. It's worth a fortune now.
It was a pig to work on, I tell you.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
It was lovely to drive, thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Pleasure.
Was there not a row, but I think Beat told us once that he was promised a particular car.
And it went to Paul Mariner.
And then Paul Mariner was signed, and as part of Paul Mariner's deal, he got the car that Beat was had been promised, which I think was something like Opel Manta or something like that, wasn't it?
I don't know who was the best driver out of those two, though. You wouldn't give it Kevin, though, would you?
No.
No, definitely wouldn't give it Kevin.
No.
Mars wasn't far behind him.
No, I mean, Mars was... He loved his cars, but... Just thinking about Ed Sheeran. Ed Sheeran came into the dressing room at Ipswich after the game. But if he had come into our dressing room, I think Maras would have thrown him out because he would never have liked his singing because Maras liked heavy metal and that was it. So that'd be interesting. Maras throwing out Ed Sheeran. That'd be lovely.
So did you ever have Ian Gillan or anyone like that come into your dressing room? Because obviously you were friends with... Maras was certainly close friends with Ian Gillan.
I watched Deep Purple about 4 months ago.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very but no one. No, Ian didn't come in. I mean, there wasn't a bar in our dressing room, so he couldn't come in.
I'm really surprised to hear that. Actually, the amount of drunken stories that.
Well, we tried, but the gaffer wouldn't have it. He wouldn't have it. No, there was all drink in his room, but not in ours. So there we go.
Yeah, well, it was good to see Ed, though, during the week, wasn't it? It was great to see him down at the ground, wasn't it? Mixing with the fans, pulling pints of beer, popping up on town TV, popping into the dressing room as well. So it was good to have him.
He was everywhere,
back.
Wasn't he?
He everywhere. Was everywhere. Yeah, absolutely everywhere.
What a night. What a night.
Yeah. But you sure he hasn't got a double? Is he a doppelganger or something like that he's then sending out and all that sort of thing?
I don't think so. No, I think that was genuinely
Well, I suppose
him.
Nobody really looks like Ed Sheeran at all, do they?
But Ed, if you're watching, you know, there's a gap on the sofa. Yeah. Wouldn't that be lovely, everybody? You know,
he could make it by the end of the programme.
He could. He could.
Well, we got the next best thing, Ginger Pickle. They're with us.
Yeah, they are. They are indeed. Can we start, though, by sending our best wishes to Kieran Dyer?
Yeah.
Phil, you've been in contact with Kieran, haven't you? And he's actually had a transplant, hasn't he?
He has. He had a liver transplant about a fortnight ago. And today he put out a press release because he was released from hospital. I think he didn't want to put out a press release before he was confident that all was sorted and everything. I spoke to him a month ago and because of things that went on that he will talk about, I'm sure, at some point, hopefully on here. He was very, very down, to be honest, and a bit worried about him and everything. Anyway, I got a call from last week saying, hello, I've had my operation. And just sounded, you know, the weight of the world off his shoulders, which, you know, bearing in mind what he's been through for the last quite a long time, really, now. I think he revealed in 2021 that he'd been diagnosed with primary sclerosing
cholangitis
2 years beforehand, but he'd actually known that he'd had liver problems since 2002. But he actually sort of, after he announced that in 2021, I thought it was a period when he thought it was going to be relatively soon before he had the operation, but then the condition improved. And he obviously took the job as one of on the staff at Chesterfield as one of Paul Cook's assistants. But in the summer, he had 6 weeks in hospital, or a fairly lengthy period in hospital, because his liver basically packed up. So absolutely terrific news that he's had the operation, and I think he'll have a fairly lengthy period of convalescence.
Yeah, but, and we've invited to come and join us here.
We have, it's life starting all over again for him, isn't it?
Yep, Special K, as Kevin Beattie used to call him, didn't he, when he came on Life's Pitch on the old radio show.
Did.
Special K's coming in. And, of course, you two know him very well. Wish him all the very best for his recovery.
Yep.
Yeah, we certainly do. I work with him as well. And he was, you know, he's a great coach. I mean, some of the stuff he put on for the younger players in particular was excellent. I think he just got frustrated that these younger players weren't getting more game time because of all the players that Town had signed. So, you know, he's seen Elkin Baggett come through, Cameron Humphreys come through as well. So he's had a big part to play in their time at the Town. But, you know, he was all for the youth. You've worked in the youth department as well. It's still a very, very big cog in the wheel of Ipswich Town.
Yeah, he's another player that came through the academy into the first team and played at international level as well. So it's another feather in the cap for the football club. And Kieran was a great lad, great player. And he was just very unfortunate that he picked up a few bad injuries as well. Not just regular injuries, but he had bad ones, didn't he? Broke a leg at West Ham when he first started there. So that's just had a bit of bad luck.
Yeah,
along
and he's
the
a
way.
True blue, isn't he? And he's one of our own, which should be a cue for a song, really, shouldn't it?
And no player has lived closer to Portman Road than... I remember actually talking to Jason Dizell once, because Jason Dizell's from Elliot Street, I think, isn't he? And lived there. And he was shaking his head saying, I can't believe that another player has lived closer to Portman Road than I do, because Kieran's from Dilwyn Street, which is literally the next street along towards Portman Road. So, yeah, I mean, there's a documentary out with Kieran now. I think it's Kieran Dyer, Premier League. I can't remember the exact title, but it's on Prime and BT and all these places at the moment. And he sort of literally walks from Dilwyn Street to his walk to the ground, which is, you know, 5 minutes, if that, which is kind of extraordinary. The fact he can sort of see Portman Road from his street is remarkable, really, isn't it?
Yeah, well, fantastic. We wish him a speedy recovery. And as I say, the invitation's here for him to come and join us here. If you're watching on YouTube, by the way, don't forget to like and subscribe at the channel. We could do with a few more likes and subscribes, couldn't we, boys? It really does make a difference to us going forward. Check out the website as well, lifesapitch.tv, because tickets for our Christmas special on November the 30th at Venue 16 are on sale there. Who's coming?
Yay!
Excellent. That's
two
or three coming. Next week we're live at the Dove, but tickets are sold out for that, so we're going to be at the Dove.
Who's coming?
One or two.
Not done that thing of buying all the tickets just so that you can...
Yeah, you don't get points for buying our tickets like you do at Ipswich Town. Plus on there, we've got merch. So last week I mentioned we've got mugs, and we have, and they're perfect for drinking your beer out of. So cheers, everybody. Don't give me that look.
It's all changed since BBC day, isn't it?
Keep it up challenge again. And we've also got T-shirts as well, so you can get some nice T-shirts and things on there as well. Let's talk about Ipswich and the games. Last weekend, Phil, a draw on the road.
A draw on the road. I remember we went to Huddersfield 10 years ago, and Mick McCarthy said, we drew 0-0. Mick McCarthy said, well, if you give me a point, before I got on the coach, I'd not got on the coach, you know, because it's a tough place to go to. You can't sniff at an away point. Now, I know we've got so used to winning that an away point seems like a bad result, doesn't it, at the moment? But I think in the circumstances of the game, which were played was played in a torrential rain throughout, on a very difficult pitch, I thought Huddersfield made life very, very difficult for us.
It was raining, Phil, was it?
Yeah.
What a shame.
I've been talking to photographers. The photographers really, really had a miserable day, I tell you.
I feel for them.
And they made it difficult for us. And I think we've tended not to do well against Darren Moore's teams, haven't we? You looked last year against Sheffield Wednesday, 2-2 draws. They hassled us and they pressed us very deep and didn't allow us to kind of play our passing game. And I think Kieran probably felt that they wouldn't be able to do it for the 90 minutes, that they would tire as the game went on because they were putting so much energy into this, which actually did happen, really, because you go sort of look at the last 10, 15 minutes, it was all town. But of course, they scored a goal before then and it made it a bit tougher for us and it got the home crowd up, who were up anyway to some degree, because obviously it was new manager's first game at home and so it going. So I don't think a 1-1 draw there will be seen as a bad result when it comes to, you know, when we look back on it over the course of the season. Of course, it keeps our long unbeaten away record going.
1-1 away from home is a great result.
Yeah.
In anybody's book. You know, when you're playing professional sport and you go away from home, start of the season, you've lost your captain due to suspension as well. So you've got to make a few changes. And you're still unbeaten after 90 minutes in a tough game. And they weren't at the best by any stretch of the imagination. And they'll be the first ones to hold their hands up and say, listen, we weren't quite at it today. Made a few changes, still unbeaten, still came away with a point, you know, and that was a great result for them. Big result.
Yeah, I think the goal scorer as well. I mean, I wasn't one of his biggest fans. So I thought he was awful here, but early doors. But I mean, that was a good header. Leif Davis passed the ball, got a slight deflection, went straight into his path and a good header to get the equaliser. So it was a left back crossing to a right back. So in the end of the day, that's what Town had to do, is go for it, try and score. But I like Williams on Tuesday night. I thought he played really, really well against a difficult opponent, particularly first half. But I've come to like him, which is quite remarkable because I don't get to like a lot of players.
But going back to the fact that Sam Morsy wasn't playing, I was a little bit surprised that Lee Evans came into the starting lineup there, because having watched him play for 90 minutes on the Tuesday night against Wolves, you thought, well, he's not going to be starting the game on Tuesday then. So it's a little bit up in the air what the midfield selection was going to be, and I was a little bit surprised that it was Lee Evans. And you know, he picked up an injury as well, which was a shame for the lad, because he's had a bit of a run with injuries at the moment, and he needs to get sort of half a dozen games under his belt again, just so that we can see.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that was probably the run question really about whether Evans would start on Saturday was the fact that he played 90 minutes and hadn't played too many games before, and Kieran doesn't tend to give players who are just coming to the side 90 minutes in that way. But he was the obvious player to replace Morsy, wasn't he? I think in that role.
Was he?
Dominic Ball, I suppose, is the other
one. After Tuesday night,
But I thought Morsy, when he came back on Tuesday night, was excellent. He drove the team really well. And Wes Burns got the man of the match, probably for the goal early goal. But I thought overall, I thought Morsy was the real key.
He's the player they look to, isn't he? I think in a lot of teams, I'm sure it's maybe the case in your team, that they when they want someone kind of to.
He drove them early on the other night. Came out of the blocks very quickly against Hull. He was involved. He had a lot of possession. He had a lot of the ball. He created the momentum. And we were talking earlier, Terry, weren't we, that the stats at the end of the game said, you know, possession was pretty similar. But we were very dominant for large parts of the game. And then I think we were able to have the luxury of just taking a foot off the pedal a little bit, give the opposition a little bit of like a 10-minute spell of majority possession while we sort of regrouped, recovered and got ready to go again.
Sort of took a breather, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to take a breather when we played because we used to boot the ball over the stand. That worked very, very well.
Wasn't the other thing you used to do just give it to Franz? And you just sort of...
Yeah, give it to Franz, yeah. And Franz used to take it for a walk and everything else down the wing. And we're like, whoa, thank God for that. You know,
that was the other option.
That was the other option, yeah.
You know, but they're a fantastic Tuesday night.
Yeah, they were. I mean, you can't give them higher praise. For me, it was just like watching us at times when we were in our pomp. And the way that they stroked the ball about, and it was so fluid, it was elegant, and it was just absolutely a dream to watch. I think we could be more ruthless. I think in our day, we were quite ruthless and had to be. But, you know, it's just some of the football they played was just really sparkling. And 3-0 didn't flatter town at all.
I think when you're talking about being ruthless, Terry, I think if Leif Davis manages to get on the score sheet a couple of times quickly, he could end up with maybe a dozen goals this season because he gets in some great positions where he's sort of in two minds whether to try and cut it back for somebody else or should he really go for goal himself. And he keeps getting there and getting there and getting there. And if he got a little bit more of a goal scoring knack about him, then he could get an absolute hatful of goals.
Do you think as well, like you say about Darren Moorfield from Sheffield Wednesday, he tactically set up really well against us. You know, he played a long ball at times and he just sat back and conceded possession. We found it difficult to get through and they had quick players on the counter-attack. He played counter-attacking football. A lot of the teams now in the championship think they can play football. They've got a good team. They've got good players. We'll play really good football against Ipswich and we'll dominate. So they come out that town and town then pick them off as well.
Well, that was the difference, I think, wasn't it, between Saturday and Tuesday, was that Hull came to play us in a football match and in a very similar style. I think Liam Rossini's approach to the game is very similar to Kieran McKenna's, but we were simply better than them.
I think they fancied the chances. Yeah, I think he's a little bit bullish coming into the game. And his dad was my assistant in Bristol City, by the way, Leroy. So I've known Liam since he was about 7 years old. And he's a good lad, Liam. But I think he was quite confident. I think they were on a good run at the time as well, weren't they? So they were full of confidence meeting our lads and more or less wanting to go toe-to-toe. And suddenly realised we were a little bit better than them on the night.
He was magnanimous in his comments after. Oh, yeah, yeah. He was very generous to town.
I think all the managers against us are when they've been beaten. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. But he was kind of gushing in his praise, wasn't he? I think for Hurst. But I think that one of the things he pointed out was the consistency in the team. That it's the team hasn't changed. They've even gone up a division. It's pretty much the same team that played most of last season, isn't it? And you sort of think back to Town in when they got promoted to the Premier League in 2000. We only made a handful of signings that summer as well, and I think that benefited us. It was kind of the orthodoxy tended to be in recent years that when you get promoted up a division, you make massive changes. You bring in lots of players with lots of Championship experience or lots of Premier League experience. Well, actually, it served us well that we're playing a much settled and not really team but squad, isn't it? Because it's not 11 men,
but
we are
a squad.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing, you know. And I think that is the strength of this collection of players that we have now, is that the quality of the personnel that they have there as people, like-minded people. We used to call it all peeing in the same bucket. You know, nobody's, you know, weighing down the back of the legs of somebody else. They're all,
There are some dressing rooms and we have peed in the same bucket, I must say. But we can't go into that. But George Edmondson coming in as well, that was a big shock for me because he sort of felt, well, he played, you know, 90 minutes on the Tuesday. But Kieran McKenna thought, well, you know, he's going to come inside on his right foot and that might open up a better avenue than if it was Cameron Burgess with his left foot. So, you know, if Kieran would think about this, it'd probably keep him up all night thinking about this sort of little, you know, switch. And it worked really well.
Yeah, and he was on about George's pace and his strength and defensive qualities are a little bit different from Cameron Burgess. And like he said, that was his decision for the day.
And Cameron Burgess and Luongo in the Australian squad as well.
Brilliant for Massimo. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah, it's totally deserved.
4 years since his last.
And we did say last season, didn't we, that the style of football that we were playing last year would suit the Championship, and it's absolutely proved to be right, hasn't it?
I think it would suit the Premier League, to be honest, and I think everybody wants that. And everybody, I mean, at the moment in time, but this, you know, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. And at this, you know, this moment, we're sprinting ahead of the others, you know, apart from Leicester, of course. But you know, it's a little bit like last season with the three teams up there with Plymouth and Sheffield Wednesday. But you know, you can only beat what's in front of you. If you don't beat them, you don't lose to them. But it's like we had the winning runs that you go on and the unbeaten runs that you go on. It just gives you so much confidence and so much belief in yourself, but also trust and belief in your teammates as well. We trusted everybody so much, and the gaffer as well, everybody.
Mm. Yeah. And it's a case of not just trusting the 11 that starts, it's trusting the players that come in, the Edmondsons and Marcus Harness thought had a terrific game as well on Tuesday and against Wolves. And also I think the togetherness of the squad that you saw on in the little dressing room clip of Ed Sheeran there, where they're all kind of singing along to an Ed Sheeran song. It's terrific team spirit, isn't it?
But the players you just mentioned there, Phil, they earn the trust of the other players, because when they come in off the bench or when they come in from outside the squad, they work hard. They work harder than the lads that have probably played the last couple of games, because they want to make sure that they're up for selection the next time that the team is being set up.
I worry when you point, because you normally should point at the other centre forward and just say, he's coming to get you, so you better watch out. when he gets his finger out, you better worry.
Yeah, you saw the odd argument. I think it was Cyril Regis one day, you know, and he had a little square up. I said, Cyril, he's going to come and get you in a minute.
That worked quite well.
But what about the second goal, the way that Town played out from the back with the goalkeeper? Fantastic, the way that he took out two attackers. And would you have enjoyed playing in that
style?
Where
do we stand with the Walton-Hladke dynamic here? What do you think, Butch?
Well, I think Walton's got a long wait on his hands. He's going to occupy the subs bench, because Hladke is just immense. I mean, there's the odd occasion when he does give us the jitters, but I mean, Christian Walton has given us more jitters than Hladke has. But I just think he's just so confident. And the thing about this Ipswich team is that they have so many options to pass to. They have people are really working hard to give them options and give them, you know, a pass. That, you know, okay, you're disappointed you don't get a pass from say, the goalkeeper, but somebody else will, and then you build from there. But it's just supreme confidence. And playing out the way we do is just great. But the second goal, and even the third goal with Clacky's long ball for Hurst, you know, that was extra special as well. I mean, okay, the defender slipped, but Hurst came in and Harness got up to him. I mean, if the ball's going forward that quick to the strikers, the midfield players have got a hell of a shift to get in there. Mm. But they do get in there because they know it's going to go there, wide in particular, so they get in the box, just like Johnny Walk used to do many years ago.
What do you think, Russ, the Walton-Hladke debate?
Well, the current keeper is there on merit at the moment, and I would think he would stay there on merit as long as he keeps playing well and doing the job. But we talk about that, but Cameron Burgess has been doing well, but Kieran left him out for George Edmondson the other night. Tactical decision, that was his choice. Whether he will do the same with the goalkeepers, we'll just have to wait to see. We had a great view of the goals, though, didn't we? I mean, Wes Burns' strike was fantastic for the first goal, and then they've played out from the back with Hladke setting the move up, and Connor Chaplin, as soon as he got the ball on the edge of the 18-yard box, you just knew where that was going to go. And he has just caressed the ball into the top corner. It was such a quality strike. It was frightening.
But we don't score little tap-ins, do we? We score great goals. I mean, every goal that we score virtually is, you know, could be goal of the month, because it's just the whole team working hard for that goal. But the finish has just been exquisite.
Great goals off the back of great football.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
You were talking last week about you were worried about the defence being a bit leaky, so you must have been pleased this week to see us keep a clean sheet in that way.
Yeah, clean sheet. Always nice. You know, and Hull City did have a fair bit of possession, so, and the goalkeeper still made probably three decent saves during the game, so there were areas there where you think, you know, you're not going to stop teams having shots at goal. You know, it's very rare that you actually go through a whole 90 minutes without conceding at least a shot on target. But the goalkeeper's doing his job. The back four's doing the job. You know, we say the back four. Is Leif Davis part of a back four? Is he left winger?
Well, he's just part of a back four because he's always up the pitch. Doesn't get back, but he does. You know, other players come and cover. What I liked about it as well was they went 3-0 up and coasting the game. Four attacking substitutes, but as a defence, they didn't want to concede. And I think we had that mentality. If Bobby Robson, if we conceded a goal with 1-3-1 or 4-1 or whatever, he went apoplectic that we conceded a goal
all the time.
But we were like, "Gaffer, we've won 4-1. That's not good enough. You've got to. It's all about, you know, habits, doing the right things." So I was really pleased that they saw the game out quite comfortably in the end, because I think they were very demoralised, Hull. But you still have to do it. And as Russell says, Town goalkeeper made two or three really good saves.
Yeah, I must just say, Mark, something else this week that happened. You know, the loss of Francis Lee in Manchester City, you know, part of the Holy Trinity up there, the Mike Summerby, Colin Bell, Francis Lee. You know, I got to know Fanny quite well, you know, and he obviously played at Derby as well. That was a big loss there. Big loss.
Yeah, he's one of that generation that just went through people, literally, with or without the ball. You know,
if you've never seen the fight with Fanny and Norman Hunter, Derby County against Leeds United at the baseball ground. Oh, it's a,
you got to see it.
It's a proper. There
must have
been 50 punches.
Anymore, do we at football? We don't see
them. No, that's the most disappointing thing. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, we used to love a scrap. Didn't we loved a scrap.
I think Franny.
Franny. I mean, Norman cut his lip, didn't he, with a punch, and then it fizzled out. But then they're both going off because they're both getting sent off. It happened again. They started again. I think Franny put him on the floor. But I mean,
big scrap.
He was a millionaire by about 30 or 35, wasn't he? And it was all to do with toilet paper, wasn't it?
Yeah, toilet rolls. Yeah,
he made a fortune out of what went down the toilet. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. I think he played his last game in professional football at Portman Road and scored twice for Derby. I think they won 6-2.
He was a handful. I mean, you know. He was like a complete centre forward. And he obviously did well for England as well. You know, 1970. And was it somebody asked him, what's the better team, the 1970 England team or the 1966 England World Cup winning team? And he says 1970 because I was in it. So he wasn't particularly short of confidence, was he?
No, definitely wasn't.
It's great to remember the greats on the show. A quick look ahead to the weekend, of course. Preston, who up until the weekend have had a decent start, Phil, haven't they, too? The season all sort of went a bit pear-shaped last weekend.
Yeah, well, they hit the top of the table, didn't they, towards the start of the in the opening weeks. But latterly dropped to third, three games without a win now, losing the last two heavily. They followed a 1-1 draw at Rotherham, which brought a six-game winning streak to an end, which is obviously pretty decent in the Championship. Then they lost 4-0 at home to West Brom, and they were beaten 3-0 away at Leicester on Wednesday. So they're sort of stung, a bit of a wounded animal perhaps. Away from home they've won 2 at Sheffield Wednesday, 1-0, and at Stoke 2-0. But I don't think Sheffield Wednesday or Stoke are anything like as good as us. So
we don't fear anybody, so do we?
Exactly.
Crowd.
And of course we played them in pre-season, unusually, didn't we, at Deepdale, and we beat them 2-1. So I think that's, you know, a bit of a, you know, I think we've got, I fancy being anyone at Portman Road at the moment, don't you?
Oh, it's just fantastic. I mean, I've missed the last few games because I've been on the sick list, and I'm going to miss Saturday as well, but watching it on the telly looks fantastic, and to be there must be great, isn't it fantastic at the moment? Just incredible.
Well, we're not missed you, Mark, anyway, so that's right.
Yeah, 27,000, was it? Yeah. 27,070 or something like that.
Something like that, yeah. Big attendances again. I mean, I think the little gap towards the capacity is the away seats that aren't sold a lot of the time.
Yeah, but you've got to say, the other day, was it 500 Hull City supporters have managed to travel down from Hull on a Tuesday night?
Yeah, very impressive.
Fair play.
Yeah, and we're singing. Although they were singing, "We've got the ball, we've lost the ball."
They were good.
It was good spirit, wasn't it?
It's good banter, isn't it?
Yeah, it
That's what it's all about.
And
it's
I used to go and watch Hull when I was at university in Hull. And I used to go and watch them at Boothroyd Park when they were almost completely different club to they are now. Because I think they spent paid a transfer fee for 4 years. The time when I was watching
them. My funniest moment with Hull. Do you remember Jimmy Bullard?
Yes,
when Jimmy played there, and Phil Brown gave them the team talk and started wagging his finger at them out in the pitch at half time. And then Jimmy did it as his goal celebration. Yeah. Very funny.
And when I was watching Hull, they had Steve Moran playing up front for them, who was sort of 10 years beyond his best, I think.
I played with Steve at Leicester City for a couple of years. He liked a lager.
he looked like it when he played for Hull.
He liked a strong lager. He liked that, was it Lowenbrow?
Yeah, the
really
extra strong
stuff.
One. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. He liked that stuff. Yeah,
we got a story about Lowenbrow. We went to Israel in 1980, end of season trip, and we were in a hotel room in this big hotel, big skyscraper thing, and we got a fridge full of beer. So I don't know if Bobby knew that we had the fridge. There's a small fridge, but it was full of Lowenbrow, and it was so strong that we just, you know, for once we didn't actually drink it because it was just too strong. It was really. So one night we came back and we'd had a few other drinks apart from Lowenbrow, so we were absolutely smashed. And we thought it was a good idea because right next to the hotel was another hotel with a swimming pool. So we had a hotel, swimming pool, hotel. And we thought it would be great if we could try and hit the pool with these Lowenbrow cans. So we would take run-ups to the... We'd got the windows open and we were throwing these cans of beer... into the pool. We got a few in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And bombs
it was,
away.
It was remarkable because we really couldn't see the pool, to be honest.
So if we come up with any particular beer, have you got a story about each one?
Well, yeah, pretty much, yeah. Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much.
Give it a go.
I love it. Look, we've got a bit of an issue tonight because it is time for the Keep It Up Challenge. And... it is sponsored by Ginger Pickle. Now, every single one of us on the team has done it now, haven't we? We would have had Carlos doing it tonight, but unfortunately, yeah. As we said earlier, he couldn't make it. So we do have in our capacity crowd a former member of the Life's a Pitch team who has played football. And has refereed and goes to all the town games. He's taller than you now. When he started, he was about this tall. Now he's about 6'10". And I'm not going to look. I'm just going to say, Tractor Boy 2, would you like to come and have a go at the Keep It Up Challenge? Come on.
You must be mad.
Yeah, we're very well. We're very well.
Can I just add that when you said played football... Can I add, probably not that well? So, if you remember the score lines from my
yeah, we thought they were cricket
days.
Scores.
All right, I'll have a go. All right.
Okay, so there we go. There's your ball. There's the performance area over there. Look, okay. We've cleared the little
Get
plastic goal away to
man.
Give you more room. So Tractor Boy 2, Phil has the whistle. I think, Terry, are you going to...
Yep, I've got the time.
So at the moment you've got if you get more than three you're ahead of Terry Butcher.
I'm just going to move my beer out of the way.
That'd be a challenge.
So if you get more than six you're ahead of Phil Hammond. If you get more than 10 you're ahead of me.
Oh no.
Okay, and if you get more than 11 you're ahead of Mickey Stockwell and then Russell and Jason and Connor and Alan Lee. Luke James at the top at 59. So no pressure, but we think you can do it. So
you're our boy.
Are we ready to go?
In your own time.
You're going to count, crowd.
Are
the big decision about starting on the ground or dropping it on your foot. Jane? So.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Oh, very good. No, that's great.
Very good.
Good effort.
That was great.
Good effort.
Well done. Well done. No, you can go back into amongst the crowd now.
And
I think you can forget about give Phil the ball.
I think we can see what I can. I think we can see why his team lost, but heavily.
Were you a goalkeeper?
That is a good sport. Well done. Give him a big round of applause,
well done,
everybody.
Matthew.
Fantastic.
Well done,
fella.
He had absolutely no idea I was going to ask him to do that. None whatsoever. He wouldn't have come
if he didn't.
No, he wouldn't. No, he wouldn't. So the rest of you be frightened if our guests don't turn up. There's one or two regulars here I'd love to see have a little go at it, you know. Ladies included. Dolphin hasn't done it.
And she's been presenting.
She's our floor manager and co-host of the show. So maybe one week we could get Leslie to do it. I don't know. What do you think, everybody? She'll be practicing. We need to have a look and see what's happened on this day in the past, Russell, for Ipswich blimey. Town. Time to get your specs on, mate. And brought to you in association with our friends at Fred Olsen Logistics. Time to have a look and see what's happened on this day in the past in Ipswich Town's history.
Yes, well, so far we've been doing okay because something has occurred on every date we've been in so far. Because there's not always something on the corresponding date. But on Sunday the 5th of October 1958, Irishman Dermot Curtis became only the second Ipswich Town player to represent his country as Ayr drew 2-2 with Poland in a friendly at Dalymount Park in Dublin. And that was in 1958, the year before we were born. And then on Monday the 5th of October 1964, Bill McGarry, competitive and uncompromising, was appointed manager of Ipswich and succeeded Jackie Milburn. McGarry led Town to the second division championship before later guiding Wolverhampton Wanderers into Europe. And that all happened on the 5th of October in 1964.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Well done. Brilliant. Brought to you in association with Fred Olsen Logistics. Time now for our town news in brief with Phil Ham from twtd.co.uk. What have you got for us, Phil?
Well, we've covered quite a lot of it already. Obviously, Kieran's excellent news, for starters. And Luongo and Burgess in the Australia squad.
I mean, Massimo's on fire at the moment, isn't he?
He is. He's playing some great football. Well. He's doing
brilliant
terrific
football.
Well, yeah, their manager watched Town at QPR. Graham Arnold is his name. And obviously called up Cameron Burgess and then subsequently told Massimo, you know, you're in the mix, because he hadn't been called up for 4 years. So they're both involved in the friendlies against England and New Zealand, the first one at Wembley and then the second one at Brentford's G-Tech Community Stadium. So terrific stuff. I mean, Luongo, I mean, he's won 43 caps already, 6 international goals, I think. So terrific news for them. Also, of course, Sam Morsi not involved in the Egypt squad, which I think
that's a bit of a surprise, isn't it? Good for us, though, I think.
It's good for us, particularly if he then, I know, he, from his perspective, it would be terrific if he went to the Africa Cup of Nations in January. But from our perspective, it would not be very good at all, because we could well have Luongo and Burgess and Elkin Baggett all the way at the Asian Cup at the same time, which would be a bit of a concern if we lost Luongo and Morsi at the same time in particular. So as much as we'd love him to be in the Egypt team, and they're a decent side, aren't they, in the Africa Cup of Nations, and probably would go quite a long way into the tournament. So we'd ideally like him here. And Lee Evans, the injury to Lee Evans, which we've spoken about already. Kieran McKenna said after the game on Tuesday that he would be out for quite a while with a medial collateral ligament injury. He's had a number of knee injuries since he's been at the club. And I read somewhere that he'd had 4 knee injuries since he's been at the club, not actually all the same knee. But I think this is the one that he's had a number of problems with. But according to Kieran, the surgery should resolve kind of underlying issues that he's kind of been playing with for quite a while and get him back on track. But quite a while, bit of a blow really to lose any player, and a bit of a blow for him because I think his contract's up at the end of the season. But hopefully he'll be back before the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Well, there we are. That's your news in brief.
That's the end
Thank
of
you.
The news.
Thank you.
This
That's
is the news.
I love it when your sort of logo comes up, because that reminds me, like, tomorrow morning I'm going to have a boiled egg for breakfast.
Right, yeah. That's down to Dan, the designer. We did have this discussion, didn't we?
Yeah, I just want to crack your head with a spoon, but there we are.
Yeah. Well, perhaps I should get sponsored by the egg marketing board.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Go to work on an egg was the slogan, wasn't it?
It was.
I think years ago.
Was it Salman Rushdie came up with that? Someone like that?
I don't know, did you? Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I mean, moving on, we don't want to get involved in that Salman Rushdie thing.
No, we'll steer clear of that. We've got we've got lots of people who want to talk to us this week. Dave's here from the Blue Monday podcast. Step up to the microphone, kind sir. Yeah, get right up close to that.
Hello.
We love the Blue Monday podcast, and we understand you love Life's a Pitch TV as well.
We certainly do. Thanks for having me on. Just really tonight want to say we've got a third Blue Monday podcast live in the Sir Bobby Robson Suite at Portman Road on Saturday after the Preston game. Kicks off at 7:30. The club have very kindly allowed an extension in Beattie's Bar. So you can go to Beattie's Bar after the game and then be in there drinking. I think there's some Portman pies left. They'll be available as well. And everything starts at 7:30. £10 a ticket. Tickets available from bluemondayitfc.co.uk. I think it was posted on
TWTD.
TV this evening. Yeah, a good night. Russ very kindly was our guest last year. And this year we've got your Keep It Up Challenge leader, Luke Chambers. Luke Chambers is coming along. So an evening of, good fun, sort of like-minded Ipswich fans. There'll be quizzes, games, a Q&A with Luke. And just really obviously going over the victory over Preston.
Still waiting for the check.
It's in a post.
Yeah. Fantastic. And they're really well attended, aren't they?
Yeah,
fans,
they are.
Absolutely love it.
So,
yeah.
So really looking forward to it again. Yeah. Like I said, it's our third one.
Well, thank you for welcoming us into the podcast world, which you and your friends at Blue Monday have done.
We're now in our eighth year now. Yeah, so, been through some pain, but, it's a lot more pleasurable these days, that's for sure.
Good stuff. Well, thank you. Give them a big round of applause.
Cheers,
thanks, Dave.
Do a lot of stuff for the town fans. We better brush up on what we're doing next week at the Dove then, hadn't we, after hearing what they're all up to on Saturday night.
Yep, there's always a challenge, and we've got to rise to that.
Brian
challenge.
Hamilton, our guest next week on the show, which will be good at the Dove.
Nine-hour show.
Mandy's here from the Ipswich Town Supporters Club as well, who has also got an event coming up. Tell us what you're up to.
Yes, we have. We have got a Dom Ball event, and that's going to be on the 16th of October in the Sir Bobby Robson Suite. And that starts at 7 o'clock. The doors open at 6:30. The tickets you can get from the ticket office, which is itfc.co.uk, and that's under events. And we have also got, and that is going to be based on From Winning Teams to Broken Dreams, which was a book from Dominic Ball. And we're going to have Chris Green, the editor, and some representatives on the panel from Sarcoma UK. And that's going to be in aid of Ipswich Town Foundation and Sarcoma UK. And the tickets are £7.
Fantastic. That's a brilliant thing to do. And Dom's a great speaker, isn't he?
Talker. He's been fantastic. We've been having this in the planning since last season, because obviously with the injury and then promotion. But we've got there. So that's brilliant. He's been brilliant. And we've also got the official ITFC Supporters Club AGM. And that's on Monday the 23rd. And the doors open at 6:15. And we start at 7 o'clock. Everyone who is obviously ITFC members, ticket holders, branches can come along. We're waiting for the club to announce the representatives. So please come along to that. We have also got Brantham Ball, our Peninsula branch, our new Peninsula branch, and they're having a gathering at 7 o'clock on the 11th of October, because we're getting a lot of branches now from Malta. We have also got our older branches, which are the Clapton branches, which are over 50 years now they've been going. So if you go on our website, itfcsupporters.co.uk, you'll be able to register if you want to do a new branch. So we've got loads going on, so just get on there.
Brilliant.
Really,
no, it's fantastic what you're doing, and it's great that we're having new supporters clubs opening up all over the world. Fantastic, isn't it?
I want to go to Malta.
Well, we are taking the show on the road, and we're going St Helens Street next week. Malta the month after.
Yeah, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
We've got North Essex, Galway Arms Island, Scotland. We've got one going to go in Spain. So we're really getting some fantastic feedback.
Good job, you got your passport sorted.
Yeah, I got my new passport now.
Have you? Oh, you're all right.
I'm ready to go. Ready to rock. I haven't signed it yet, so it's not legal.
So you're open to any presidencies that are going, any branches.
Always available, aren't we? Yeah.
Well, I saw your eyes light up at the Brantham Bull. I mean, I don't know.
Why? Well, it's good, the Brantham Bull.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a story about the beer in the Brantham? No, it's okay.
I can't remember.
Mandy, thank you ever so much for coming. And lots of love to all the team from the Sports Club. And talking about international, Mick's here from Florida. Yay. All the way from Florida.
Yeah, Florida via Ipswich. I got a few little things I want to give you.
And you watched you watched the match on earlier in the week, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I was Saturday.
Yep.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Preston. And then
brilliant.
I go on.
You're having a good trip so far.
I always arrange my trips. My mum lives in Clacton. I got to come and see her, but
you're really coming to see town, aren't you?
Fixtures. She's going to watch this tomorrow. Anyway, I bought you a couple little gifts.
Okay.
I got a North American Sports Club hat.
Oh, fantastic.
It needs a small head.
Phil?
Yeah.
That's fine.
I mean, Phil does...
I actually have... lost my hat.
Phil does wear hats like that, so that's a real treat.
We started the American Sports Club in after the Barnsley game.
Yep.
So I bought you my first shirt. I bought.
Hey, look at that! ITFC NASC, brilliant.
That was the first one we ever made, and you know it doesn't say Marcus Evans at least, so it's all good. So I'm going to present that to you for there.
Yep.
And
thank
you. Controversial, maybe.
Okay.
I bought something for Terry.
What have you? Oh.
It's keychain.
That's something I've always wanted, to be honest. Thank you very much.
I was hoping it'd be the Luton game picture, but I was at that one. But I got that for you.
Well, it was the same amount of blood, I think, at the time. Yeah. There, yeah. Thank you very much.
If you can't see it, it's the famous England incident.
England, Sweden.
With the blood.
So that's that.
Which you didn't.
Don't wear it with pride.
You should have patented that picture. You'd have been as rich as Franny Lee with his toilet rolls.
I would have been. I wouldn't have been here if I'd done that as well. I'll be on a Caribbean island somewhere, or
thanks.
I probably bought a Caribbean
thanks
island.
Thanks for that. Yeah.
But I would have invited Life to Pitch out there if I was.
Thank
there.
You,
yeah,
Terry. Right. Thank you.
But not you, Mark. Anyway.
Mick, come over there. The North American supporters it's growing, isn't it?
It's pretty massive right now.
Yeah.
I used to run it. I don't run it so much anymore. But Rob in the back there, he follows them all the time. There's a big WhatsApp group every week that follows the games. You'll be surprised how many supporters out there. A lot of people back in the day went to Mildenhall and Lakenheath, grew up there.
Yeah.
So they became Ipswich supporters and they came back. So there's a lot of American genuine Ipswich supporters from the glory years.
We had a couple of horrible trips down there, didn't we, to Florida?
Oh yeah,
quiet.
Yeah.
Oh, we've got time, haven't we? Go on, off you go.
One of them was pre-season.
Yeah.
The Pan Am Sunshine Tournament. Ipswich Town Football Club. Fort Lauderdale Strikers. Tampa Bay Rowdies. Sao Paulo from Brazil. Pre-season. Flew out first class by Pan Am. With our bunch of directors... Everybody was legless by the time we got over Ireland. So by the time, seriously.
I think they ran out of champagne, didn't they? Yep,
run out of champagne over Ireland. We made it, can't remember where we flew into, but it was somewhere away in Florida. And we just played the three games. And we did quite well. I think Sao Paulo beat us 1-0 in the final to a goal that should never been allowed anyway. And our pre-season training was just a little run up and down the beach, wasn't it, each evening?
Yep, it was good.
Right. It was great fun.
I think we were still drunk when we were running up and down, but Bobby didn't know that, so that was quite nice.
We had a fantastic trip. We didn't do very well when we completed the league programme that year. I think we were about fifth, sixth off bottom, I think, weren't we?
I think, about end of September, we were bottom, yeah, that was right. Yeah. And then we played Notts County away, and... we won 6-0, I think, or 6-1. And that was the start of us climbing the table.
Can you remember who got the one for them?
Was it you, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah, that's right.
It was across
it was
from...
It was a beauty, I remember that, yeah.
It was across from their right wing into the six-yard box. And I swung my left foot at it. And rather than it going that way up the pitch, it flew in Paul Cooper's top corner.
Yeah.
And I looked to Paul Cooper... And I just said, Coop, you could have at least gone for it and made an effort, you know. And I remember Hugh Johns, who used to commentate on the ITV game on a Sunday afternoon then. I was listening to it the following day and as the ball's rocketed into the top corner, he's gone, and Osman doesn't miss from that distance. One of my finest. Yeah. It was.
What a corker.
It was one of my best own goals ever.
So did you try and make it clear that it was the goalkeeper's fault?
Yeah, it was Coop's fault. Should have had it. Yeah. Should have expected it.
Well, when we get him on the show, which we all do, we get him on Zoom or Skype or some form or other, we'll remind him of that, I think.
Yeah. He won't have forgotten, that's for sure.
And you should know about goalkeeping, because you actually went in goal. We were talking about this earlier.
Yeah. I played against West Bromwich Albion for 40 minutes in goal, kept a clean sheet. Paul Cooper went off injured just after the half-time break. Never had a problem, really. My only worry was at set pieces. I thought I was going to get smashed, but the big boys looked after everything for me there. You know, I think they've got Cyril Regis playing, John Wyle, Ali Robertson. Yeah. You know, and I thought, oh, crikey, they're all going to like come and smash me in the six-yard box. But my defensive wall that I organised in front of me was very good.
So you were picked to go in goal because of your rugby. We didn't speak about it when we were talking the other week. You didn't speak about your kind of rugby background, did we? But you played very high level in rugby, didn't you?
Yeah, well, if you look at the rest of the lads in the squad of that day, you know, the other 11 players, because we only had the one sub in those days, you wouldn't have trusted anybody else just to put the gloves on, never mind keep a clean sheet.
Not put the right ones.
Tay would have done it all right.
But you used to go in goal sometimes in training, didn't you?
Yeah.
When the goalkeepers got tired and went in, so Russell would do that. I think what you did, though, you were very clever, because we never beat hit a shot. Kevin Beattie, you got out of the way of it, didn't you?
And I think a lot of experienced goalkeepers tried that as well.
John Osborne for West Brom, yeah. Wow, it was a good job there were nets on the goal, because it would have killed the 10 in the crowd, wouldn't it?
I think he broke somebody's wrist one day at one of those fun game things that they used to do on television. It was the one where Kevin Keegan fell off the
Superstars,
bike.
Superstars, wasn't it?
Superstars. Yeah. Did a Superstars one, and Kevin Beattie was shooting at somebody, and a professional goalkeeper, and broke his wrist. Yeah.
Not when you got out of the way.
Yeah, I know. Leave those well alone.
I've got one story to share, Mick, with you, because you talked about, from North America, you talked about lots of people being based here. So I went to a school in Ipswich, and a lot of the kids were living around my school. It's Murrayfield Junior School, whose parents were at the bases. And I remember we had this new lad called Kurt turned up, and he'd never played soccer before. So we said, okay, fine, you go in goal, thinking that that would be a good place for him. So the first time the ball went to him, he picked it up. He ran the length of the field, and we just stood looking at him as he was going along like this. And he touched down in the goal mouth the other end and was jumping up and down. And we thought, what on earth are you doing? And he was getting his sports muddled up, bless him. But
he invented rugby.
He probably would have been good. So, hey, look, we're out of time. Thank you, Capacity Crowd. You've been brilliant. Wonderful. I love your new hat, Phil.
That's very good. I did actually lose a hat the other day, so that's terrific.
That's great.
And it was, for people sent it to me, Faye Weldon came up with that, go to work on an egg.
Oh, was it?
Salman Rushdie came up with naughty but nice, apparently.
Oh, really? Mm. All right, thank you for
that. I like the hat because it matches your eyes.
Thank you very much. That's very nice. I never expected you to say that to me, but there you go.
If you pull it down at the front a bit, Phil, a bit further.
There we are, yeah.
Anyway, next week we'll be at the Dove in St. Helen Street in Ipswich. I believe it's a sellout, so we're going to have a lot of fun there. We'll be joined by Brian Hamilton next week, so we'll probably be talking for a couple of hours, do you think, boys, next week, the show?
No, we won't be talking. Brian will probably talk for a couple of hours, but bless him, but he's up for it. He played in an era with Town that were very, very good. You know, didn't win the things they should have won, but you know, that was the nucleus of the team for 78 all the way through there, and It was a fantastic period for Town in Europe, 10 years, I think, on a row. So, yeah, it was good.
He was my first running partner in pre-season when I came down as a schoolboy in about 1974. And I had a run with him.
Right. Cool.
and he had a bit of cotton wool in one ear. No. Sorry,
perhaps
Brian.
We all should next week. Anyway, we're really looking forward to that. And don't forget also, Life's a Pitch TV, our Christmas special is at Venue 16. And tickets are available on the website, lifesapitch.tv. You can get your mugs and your shirts on there as well. But it's going to be a big crowd for that at Venue 16. We're doing the show and then a question of sport after a two-course dinner. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll have a great night that night. Don't forget, keep in touch on our socials, Facebook, Insta, and X. On YouTube, please like and subscribe if you can. We could do with some more subscribers that will help us keep the website going. Thanks to our main sponsors, DPS Tech, also supported by All About Hearing, marketing company Ginger Pickle, Forward Floors, Come Hither Design, The Hudson Group, Sound 4 Pro Audio, and Fred Olsen Logistics. From all of us here at Life's a Pitch TV, keep going, town. Keep going. Upper town, everybody! Upper town.